Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Hour two. Great to have you in. World Series starts tonight. Jerome Bettis in 5 minutes, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I haven't talked to Jerome Bettis, the former Steeler great, in a long time. The bus. Ran for 14,000 yards, just shy of that. One of the top 7-8 rushers of all time. Very unique running back. It's funny. Most of your great running backs all had a different look. Barry Sanders, very shifty. Walter Payton, like, bizarrely strong for his size. Derrick Henry in the bus, just run you over.
Eric Dickerson.
O.J. Simpson would cut back and be the ultimate cutback runner. Marcus Allen could catch. Marcus Allen could have started at safety, wide receiver, running back, probably the most talented. He could have been a quarterback in the NFL. I honestly think that. Every great running back, Earl Campbell, every great running back's had a different thing.
And Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn. I can't believe I brought up O.J. Simpson. I just, you know, as a kid growing up, he was great.
Was an all-time.
Yeah, things went sideways.
Great but running
nonetheless,
back.
Nonetheless, he was.
Talking about on the field.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you are a young person, if you're a kid, go watch Jerome Bettis highlights. They're unbelievable. Yeah. Like, he earned his nickname.
He was one of those college running backs, like, running over. Looked unfair.
Yeah.
It didn't look healthy for the opponents in college. All right, we call it the Herd Hierarchy. It is not. You know, I'm not one of these guys that if you won, I necessarily put you higher, or if you lost, I bury you. Who do I think today, if they all played, would be the top 10 teams in the league? Neutral field. Here we go.
Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to college. Number 10.
Listen, Baltimore, we're 7 games through. Their pass defense is atrocious, and they have several one-possession wins. Kansas City, Detroit, the Colts. Remember, they were outplayed by the Lions. They could have lost to both the Colts. They were outplayed for 3 quarters by the Colts, and they got crushed at home. It's a very good football team. They have been really banged up. I think they're fine. But I think right now they're about the 10th best team in the league, and here's why. Here's number 9.
Number 9.
I'm going to give it to Cincinnati because they have the same record and they just blew them out in Baltimore. I have concerns about their offensive line. I think Zach Taylor's a good coach. I mean, they're getting better, so I think he can, but it's really a Joe Burrow story. He's got, you know, 300-plus yards in 7 of his 17 starts, and that's, by the way, with a rebuilding offensive line. Jamar Chase is an absolute home run. They've hit some home runs last couple of years in their draft, and their defense against the run is better than it gets credit for. Cincinnati at 9.
Number 8.
The Raiders. What do I do with the Raiders? Listen, since Gruden left, Derek Carr's better. Like, significantly better. Maybe the anxiety of Gruden and the, you know, the scowl on the sidelines. Whatever it is, Derek Carr's got 5 games of over 300-yard passing. That is the most in the NFL this year. The protection can be spotty, but they've got a running game. They've got 8 guys that can catch the ball. And their schedule, hey, listen, they got a bye this week and the Giants next week. So it's not getting tougher. So right, and Kansas City's not playing well. So you got to be fair with them. I did not think they'd be good. I've always been a fan of Derek Carr. But right now, I think the Raiders are a top 10 team, and I would put them at 8.
Number 7.
But I think they lose in a neutral field to the Green Bay Packers. Now, this week, Devontae Adams is out, so let's be fair here. That's a huge loss. David Bakhtiari, left tackle, comes back. The Packers, to me, this year have been somewhere 6, 7, 8. They don't feel like offensively they have a second receiver they trust. Randall Cobb's been nice but spotty. I do worry about their offensive line. Bakhtiari helps. But I don't think they would beat the number 6 team if they played in a neutral field.
Number 6.
And that's the Titans, who, by the way, have placed the most players on IR in the league, and they're still red hot. But they did lose to the Jets, and this is why I got to keep them here. They've been a little hot and cold half to half, and I do think they would have lost to the Bills had Josh Allen not slipped. They were outgained, outplayed, out time of possession. But I will say this. They scored on their first 5 possessions against the Chiefs. They played downhill. If they get a lead on you, watch out, because Derrick Henry and that offensive line can punish you. 5th win in their last 6 games. And I've always thought Mike Vrabel is a good coach that we don't talk about. He's a former player. You know, he's not a guy that has a lot of tolerance for standing at the mic and, you know, he doesn't promote himself. And so we don't talk about Mike Vrabel much. I think Mike Vrabel's a really good coach. I think he's a really, really good football coach.
Number five.
But I think they'd lose to the Rams if they played head-to-head because I think Matt Stafford and McVay, if they get a lead on you, they don't lose. 42-0 is Sean McVay when a lead at half. That's pretty good. They were great on third downs. The Stafford has been sacked 7 times this year, fewest by any quarterback in the league, and he's not mobile. So it's a big-time offensive line. They've got some depth now at running back. They've overcome the Cam Akers injury. Cooper Kupp looks like Randy Moss. Nobody can stop him. Rams at 5.
Number 4.
Bills at 4. I know they lost to Tennessee, but they outplayed them. I like this team a lot. Upcoming schedule is weak. Dolphins, Jags, Jets. They're going to go on a big winning streak here. They have the number 2 scoring offense and the number 1 scoring defense. Don't overreact to a couple of close losses. Bills at 4.
Number 3.
Listen, you say what you want about the Dallas Cowboys right now, folks. They're averaging 6.6 yards a play. That's the most in the NFL, and that's a game against Belichick. Okay, so Belichick's the best defensive coach in the league. They could be the first team in NFL history with 2,000-yard rushers, Zeke and Tony Pollard, and 2,000-yard receivers, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. They've got possession receivers, flashy receivers, power backs, wiggle backs, O-line's healthy. I love this team. Cowboys have outgained every opponent this year, including the Bucs, week 1.
Number 2.
Arizona, only undefeated team. I think they'll win this Thursday. Kyler Murray leads the NFL in completion percentage, and that's important because we think of Kyler Murray as, oh, flash, big plays. You know what? Kyler Murray is efficient, and that he was not in his first 2 years. You got the big play, but he missed a lot of layups. He no longer misses layups. I think their GM, Steve Keim, has taken big chances. J.J. Watt has worked. They're getting healthier, by the way. They've only allowed 16 points a game this year, tied for the best in the NFL. That's pretty scary. When you get that dynamic offense and that good a defense, that feels like Tampa last year.
Number 1.
The Buccaneers. They have now won 5th win by 20 points since Brady joined the team. And what you're seeing with them is, as the league gets younger at quarterback, they get smarter and better at quarterback. The defense is playing better. Now, the secondary's still banged up, and that would be tough against Arizona. But they were missing Antonio Brown and Gronk, and they led 35-0 at half or had 35 points. This team has it all. They don't have a real weakness. I don't think they're great at corner, but when they're healthy, they're not terrible. And I think if you look at Tampa, neutral field with Tom Brady and that depth and those weapons and that wide receiver, I think it would be the best team in the league. And that's how I look at this. Neutral field, who would you take? I think the Bucs would beat Arizona and Dallas. Dallas almost lost to New England. So let's look at it again. Arizona 2, Dallas, Buffalo. I know Buffalo's got 2 losses. I don't care. First of all, week 1, I almost throw out. Week 1, because starters no longer play in the preseason. Week 1 is like extended preseason. And a game against Tennessee, they outgained them. They outplayed them. They had more time of possession. So I don't hold that against them. It's not a punitive loss. Rams, Titans, Packers, Raiders, Bengals, Ravens. It is, it's just so, like this morning, this is how bad the Bengals have been for so long. I almost felt guilty. I almost did. I put the Bengals in. I'm like, no, I can't have the Bengals in a top 10. And I'm thinking, and I went back and looked at all the data and looked at all the numbers that matter. And I'm like, they're great against the run. Their pass rush is not consistent, but it can be pretty good. Their passing offense is money. The O-line's better, not great. They can run the ball generally when they have to. Because you just don't see that B on our top 10. It has never existed in my life.
No, it took a long time to come around to the Browns in that space, too.
It did.
But the Bengals are at the top of the AFC.
By the way, I have the Chargers at 11. I am going to the Charger-Patriot game this weekend.
Ooh. Colin Cowherd in the wild.
That's funny. So I asked Ann this morning. She's not a big sports fan. I said, do you want to go to the game? And she goes, where do we sit? You know, Ann. I said,
it's a great question. It's a very valid question.
I said, we're in the suite. We got a suite. Yeah. Oh, so she was like, oh, you're sweet. I'll go. So do you want to go with Jerome Bettis now or a break? You guys in the back, tell me, what do you want to do with Jerome? I'll do either way. All right, I'll take a break. We'll have the great Jerome Bettis around the corner.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
He's a Hall of Famer, one of my favorite guys. 13 years, 6-time Pro Bowler, Walter Payton Man of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year. He's done it all, and he now lives in Atlanta. His son is playing football as well. Jerome Bettis joins us live, but his son... He's like his dad. He's smart. He said, "Dad, there's no money at running back. I'm going to be a wide receiver. I'm not going to get hit. I'm going to go out of bounds." Don't blame him, by the way. I don't blame him at all.
Where's the toughness?
Toughness.
He's a running back.
I know. The lettuce is all at wide receiver. So Mike Tomlin's name came up for the USC job. And listen, Mike would crush. But I want you to take me inside to Tomlin. He laughed at it and he said, "You can't write a check big enough." I don't think the Steelers would ever let him go. Your take on Tomlin and rumors that he would leave, because there are rumors out there that he's about to leave Pittsburgh.
I don't see that happening. I think it'd be really hard for a college to get a coach like Tomlin. One, he's very matter-of-fact. And so, you know, sometimes for a 17, 18-year-old kid, he may not understand that or appreciate that. Now, a grown man, you appreciate the honesty and the clarity and where you are. But sometimes in college, you just can't be as aggressive as he is as a head coach. So I just think it may not bode well for him in college. But I think he, you know, if anybody were to pry him away from Pittsburgh, they were beginning one of the best coaches in all of football, you know, at any level. So I still don't think he's going
to
go, though.
No, I think it's actually a great point. He's blunt and to the point, and, you know, 17, 18-year-olds may not want to handle that. Now,
yeah.
Najee Harris, he's not a breakaway running back. Like you, he's got power, and like you, he can make people miss. What do you see with the rookie from Alabama for the Steelers?
You know, I see a running back that has the ability to do everything. He can do it all. So, you know, you could throw it to him 10 times out of the backfield and he's going to make big plays for you. You can give it to him 25 times out of the backfield and he's going to change the game. And that's what you want from your star running back. You want him to be able to change the outcome of the game. And if you give him those opportunities, he's going to do it. And I think he's shown a little bit, you know, in terms of the passing game. He had, you know, 100 yards receiving earlier. We saw the 100 yards rushing. And I think once they're able to put it all together and get that type of consistency from him every week, then all of a sudden you see him going to a different stratosphere.
Listen, I was told years ago, I was told this by somebody, they say the hardest player to coach in the NFL is an aging star quarterback. A Dan Marino, Jimmy Johnson struggled with that. It's hard. I get it. Big Ben's not the same player. He's taken a lot of hits, not always the most rigid off-season workout program, and here we are at the end. What do you do? I mean, what do you do with Ben at this point?
Well, I think the key for Ben is protection. Obviously, he's gotten older, and the feet don't work the way they used to in terms of extending plays and being that real physically dominating quarterback out there. So now you have to tweak what you're doing. You can't expect him to be that 25, 27-year-old quarterback anymore. You have got to now protect him a little different than you did in years past, where you didn't have to have the best offensive line in the world. Well, now you've got to put the priority on the offensive line, because if you give him time, he can still spin it. But if you're asking him to elude the rush and make plays with his feet, that's not going to happen anymore. So I just think they have to understand what they have, much like Tampa understood what they had in Tom Brady, and they went out and the first pick was an offensive tackle. And
right.
They said, you know what? We're going to make the offensive line a priority because we've got to protect this guy. He can still spin it, but he can't move like he used to. And I think that's what the Steelers have to understand. He can't move like he used to, but he can still throw it, protect him.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't think that, I mean, listen, you know how it goes in the NFL draft. Half of these quarterbacks don't work, and you got Lamar Jackson. You got Joe Burrow. I mean, Baker Mayfield won a playoff game. I could see them absolutely saying, let's not mess around. We got the defense. We got the running back. Let's go get Aaron Rodgers. We'll give up three picks. I think that works. I think Aaron fits them. He's never had a great defensive head coach. Your thoughts on Aaron to Pittsburgh, which I don't think is a flimsy rumor. I could see it.
I can see it. And the one reason that I can see it is because every team has a championship window. And this defense is a championship defense. Unfortunately, the window will close eventually. So they've still got a 3-year window,
right?
I would think, in terms of the defense being, playoff and championship caliber. Now, they have now got to figure out, do we have enough time to develop a young quarterback in that window? And so do we have to just now go out and secure our quarterback so now we can have an opportunity to win a championship in that window? And I think when you look at an Aaron Rodgers or a player of that caliber, absolutely, considering they haven't got it figured out for the guy behind them. That's the big problem. When you don't have it figured out, then you want to try to go out and find something that you know is consistent.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers is best in the business.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. I had not thought of that. They have all these young defensive players, and they're all going to get paid here within 2 to 3 years. So you better take advantage of that window. Finally, you know, Derrick Henry, some would say he's got some Jerome Bettis. He's certainly powerful. Did you think he would be this good as a pro?
I did not. I knew he was going to be really good. You know, I followed him from high school. I mean, he was a top high school running back in the country. I mean, did amazing things. And then you say, okay, well, he gets to college. I don't know how well that's going to, you know, how he's going to develop in college. Was sensational in college. And then I said, okay, when he gets to the NFL, these guys are a little bit different. They're a lot twitchier, fast twitch. These guys are going to get to him
right.
a little quicker, not going to allow him to get going. And boy, was I wrong. I think, one, he got with the right team. Because had he gone to anywhere else, he probably wouldn't have got that opportunity. Early in his career, he wasn't. They were two platooning him, not
That's right.
giving him
That's
those
right.
25, 30 carries. So originally, people were like a little skittish on him. But then everything turned around, and once they gave it to him 25 times and saw, uh-oh, he could do some things. I think that changed everything. And I think the running back, he got hurt. The little guy that was came in from
DeMarco,
New England, he got hurt.
Yes, yes.
And so they had to go with him.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, we got something.
Yeah.
I think they realized it, and he's been rolling ever since.
Yeah, everybody's an expert on Derrick Henry, but he was a platoon player for the first 2 years in this league. He was not like Zeke. He was not Adrian Peterson, where he was a home run initially. All right, yesterday, I was just telling the staff, yesterday afternoon, I had Quaker Oats and blueberry for a snack, because I had blueberries that they go stale in about an hour and a half from the grocery store. You are working with Quaker Oats, the Quaker Oats Good Time Challenge. What is it?
Well, we're trying to inspire people to help tackle hunger and support Feeding America. And how do we do that? It's called the Quaker Good Call Challenge. We're asking people to just get an empty canister, like a Quaker canister, and turn into a bank. Collect some spare change that's in your car, that's in your seat cushions, somewhere all over your home, as it would be, and take that change to your local Coinstar kiosk and select Feeding America. And I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference, because Quaker has already donated $125,000 that's going to be going to Feed America. And we want to do that to just get those meals out, because 38 million people in America are facing hunger. So we can do some good in this holiday season.
Yep. Jerome, you're always so thoughtful. Good luck to your son and your family living in a beautiful city, Atlanta. It's great seeing you again. Love to have you on whenever you have an opening.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Jerome Bettis. It's a really good point. They don't have time to waste with developing a quarterback. That defense has got dudes that are going to get paid. You got a couple windows. You got to make it work. It's a really, really good point. All right. This show is moving. You know, I start talking to Tom Brady regularly. Maybe, you know, I'm becoming a big deal here. I don't know. when it's game time, everybody has a favorite. And my go-to is the number 7 turkeys. Oh, you know what? What am I doing?
I don't know. It sounds like you're reading a commercial.
Jesus. Joy Taylor with the news. What am I doing?
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I forgot.
But we do love Jersey Mike's.
Well, I love Jersey Mike's. It's just I got to read it in 10 minutes.
Well, speaking of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin has been one of the names swirling as a potential hire for the USC head coaching job. And this morning, Mike Tomlin addressed the rumors as only he can.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
He is the, there's never been a coach as good as him on the mic. And yet, you listen, it came out yesterday and it was fun to speculate. But it's like.
But I felt like it was not even said in a way that it should have spiraled, but it's just too juicy not to.
Well, he's Mike Tomlin.
To take a little squeeze at. All Carson was saying was that that's somebody that USC could swing for. Like, that's how high they're going to go.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, how your contract structure is important.
But Mike almost sounded, I would say this, Mike almost sounded kind of offended.
Right. And as he should be, because there's never been any inclination from him or anyone else that he would ever be leaving the Steelers. Also, of all the organizations in sports, talking about the Steelers head coaching position being vacant.
It's never vacant.
It's silly.
They've had three coaches in my life. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher.
In the history of the franchise.
If Bill Cowher would have wanted to stay, he retired, they'd still have Cowher.
Yes.
They don't fire coaches.
He's in his 15th season with the Steelers. He has a 148-81-1 record. He's led the team to 9 playoff runs, 7 division titles, 3 AFC championship games, 2 Super Bowls, 1 Super Bowl win. He's not going anywhere. He's certainly not going from the Steelers to USC, which is a great job.
It doesn't even geographically work for me. Like, I think of Mike Tomlin, if he took a college job, I mean, he wouldn't, but I would be like, Ohio State. You know, Pittsburgh's not far from, I'd be like, yeah, it's a physical Mike Tomlin, tough guy, Big Ten. USC's out here in fancy, throw the ball 80 time West Coast.
No, I do think that Mike Tomlin would do a great job at USC.
I think he just walks into a room and mom's like, wow, and dad's like, wow, and the kid's like, wow, and he gets all the good players.
You're right, but he's not. That. He has no need to do that. And why would he take a job at USC? Because if he were to leave the Steelers for whatever reason in fantasy land, this would happen. He would get whatever NFL head coaching job was available immediately, which there are always head coaching jobs available in the NFL every single year.
8.
Right. So why wouldn't he take one of those jobs?
Yeah.
And then look, the Steelers are at the bottom of the AFC North right now. They're 3-3, and it's been a bumpy year, but he's never had a losing season. They're going to get back on track. And he's not going anywhere. And I'm perfectly fine with him having the attitude that he has.
That is my favorite. I could run that. Let's run that again next hour.
Okay.
I love that so much. That is my favorite. I mean, and this is hard to top. There's never been a coach who has more. It's like.
He doesn't waste a single word.
Not a single word. And by the way, everything is urgent.
Yeah.
You literally could ask him about a receiver, a number 4 receiver stubbed a toe. And he would go, to toe. It gets stubbed. This is football. We stub toes here. Next. Everything feels massively important.
Well, he's not going anywhere, guys. So the Packers announced yesterday that they might be without one of their top weapons for Thursday night against the Cardinals. They've placed Davante Adams on the COVID-19 list. The team didn't confirm that. So he, it doesn't mean that he's contracted COVID, but he is on the list. So it could result from a positive test or exposure to someone who has tested positive. Either way, his status is up in the air for Thursday's game against the Cardinals.
Good luck.
They previously announced, the Packers did, that their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, has tested positive for COVID and isn't expected to join them for Thursday's game. So they could be without some key personnel Thursday against the undefeated Cardinals, who are currently favored by 6, according to Fox Bet. Now, I still think I certainly like the Packers to cover.
Oh, I don't.
You don't?
I think it could get ugly fast. Because I think what happens is you get into a little bit of a space where you got to be very patient. Because if you fall behind Arizona, you don't want to get into a track meet. The way Green Bay wins this game, run the football, slow it down a little.
Yeah, I mean, they want to keep
Control
Kyler
the clock,
on the sideline.
Keep Kyler on the side. He's completing 74% of his throws.
But the Cardinals' defense is good. So it's not that simple to be like, we're just going to run the ball and take advantage of their defense. It's not that simple. But I do think that they'll cover six. That's a lot for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I know.
It's a lot. Well, Ben Simmons has so far got his wish to not play for the 76ers, despite being under contract for four more years. But he was getting heavily fined while holding out. And since reporting to the team, he has been claiming and restating that he's mentally unready and dealing with a back injury. According to ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, Simmons admitting his reason for wanting to sit out, the Sixers have decided to stop issuing fines to Ben Simmons. So Simmons' contract includes protections for mental disability. So this could even open the door for him to recoup his previous fines. There's still no timeline on when he is going to return to practice. So again, an ongoing situation there in Philadelphia. I don't even know what to make of this situation.
I know
at this point.
I watched NBA last night before the Monday Night Football game. I watched the Wizards were 2-0, and I think they were. And they watched Brooklyn. You know what? I thought about that, because I want to talk about good things about the NBA. I watched Kevin Durant and Joey, and here's what I thought watching it. In the history of the NBA, you can't count centers. Mm. Kevin Durant's the only guy that would beat Michael Jordan in a game of one-on-one. Kevin Durant is insane. He's the only guy that would beat Michael, because LeBron, hit and miss on the jumper. Kevin Durant, mid-range, ball to the basket, three-pointer.
It's an interesting debate.
I think Michael would be like, pass, not going to play.
Michael would play. Michael would play. He's the most competitive person.
I think Kevin Durant is the greatest.
Human existence.
If there's a one-on-one tournament in the NBA history.
Well, he just has an he's almost like Kareem. He just has an unstoppable, unguardable shot.
Okay, that's
so
my
tall.
That's my internet. Do what you do. It's my hot take. In the history of the league, Kevin Durant would be the greatest one-on-one player ever. He was last night. There was about a 5-minute stretch, and I'm like, these are NBA players. They don't even try to stop him.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
You can't stop. On the break, it's embarrassing. It's like, all right, just go ahead and score. I don't want to be part of your poster. Just go ahead and score. I mean, so gifted. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
By the way, we now have one more team that needs a franchise quarterback. Can we say that? Because New Orleans, Jameis throws a beautiful ball. He throws a beautiful ball. If they could catch him, it would help. I don't think it's going to work. So I was, if you take away the Green Bay game, even with Sean Payton and Alvin Kamara, who was one of the great receiving backs, maybe in my lifetime, he's like Alvin Kamara and Edger and James, like, could they just be receivers? But he's completing, 57% of his throws with a passer rating lower than Mac Jones. This is not going to be the future. He does throw a pretty ball. He's either the world's best backup, Jameis Winston, or he's a low-end franchise quarterback, and I don't think Sean Payton's going to sit around and coach somebody that, you're in a division with, Deshaun Watson of Carolina got him, Tom Brady. I don't think they're going to keep him. So I was thinking this morning, the NFL cycle never changes. Here's the teams that I think are looking for a quarterback. Saints, Washington, Denver, Carolina. Yeah, I said it. Pittsburgh, Texans, Dolphins. And two that could absolutely draft one. May not be in the first round, maybe in the second. Lions, Eagles. So that's nine. So it never fails, does it? Every single year, you think we've reached the saturation point. I talk about it every year, and here we are. Nine teams probably draft a quarterback. Three will find theirs. One or two will hit in the college draft. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. Somebody will, three or four, and then six won't. Mark it down. By the way, you know what it made me think of? Here's another thought. Jordan Love. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo had injury history, and he had a market for him. This list, you know what it made me think of? If you're Green Bay, go break bread. Have dinner with Aaron Rodgers. Give him a new contract.
Ooh.
Trade Jordan Love. That's exactly what I thought. Because I looked at that bottom eight list. Some of those teams, we love Sean Payton. We love Mike Tomlin. You could be in quarterback hell for years.
That's what I said when they drafted Jordan Love. It sounds good that you're just going to replace Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
And this is not a knock. Jordan Love, somebody would make a run at him.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many teams that need a quarterback. Yeah,
and he's been in a great system. Somebody liked him that now he's available. I honestly looked at that list and I thought, Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton are if you think it's easy, it's a bad college draft for quarterbacks, right? Maybe it's Green Bay's time to honestly say, listen, Aaron.
We're sorry.
Boom. There you go.
I've been saying this the whole time. It sounds great. You drafted his replacement. Sure, going to plug him right in. Everything's going to work perfectly. Okay. You can talk to some of these teams that haven't had a franchise quarterback for 20 years.
Just say, listen, a third of these draft picks all whiff anyway. Just go to a team and say, give us a second or a third for Jordan Love. Redo Aaron Rodgers' deal. Get David Bakhtiari signed. You got Aaron Jones signed. And by the way, you know what you do with Aaron? You give him way more guaranteed money so you can lower the cap. And I think Aaron would do that because Aaron eventually wants to win more games. And so if you have this massive 18, you know, this gigantic cap hit, you're in big trouble. I honestly looked at that list this morning. I'm like, some of these are great organizations, great GMs, great coaches, and they're an inch from 4 years of nonsense. I think Green Bay needs to apologize. I'm
glad you finally come over to
the right side. All right, World Series, we're talking that. Mark Sanchez joins us next hour. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Bet Super 6 wants you to stack the cash, scan the QR code, download the app, and enter the free-to-play NFL Sunday Challenge contest. Make your picks, and then invite your friends to play as well. The more people who enter, the bigger the jackpot gets.
Well, the game one of the World Series tonight, 7:30 on Fox, Braves Astros. It's going to be a lot better than that awful Monday night football game last night that was just dreadful. Tom Verducci's the best guy that's ever covered it, in my opinion. Fox Sports MLB analyst is joining us now. First of all, you know, the Braves, some of this in baseball is crazy. Not like it's luck, but it's crazy. So the Astros had Charlie Morton, and he's like, you know, 37, 38-year-old. And they're like, yeah, we don't need Charlie Morton. And he goes over to Atlanta, and he's starting tonight against his former teammate. They also made it, you know, these deadline trades, a lot of them are, they don't pay off. And they went and got, you know, Atlanta went and got Eddie Rosario from the Twins. He's been a huge get. So is it when you sort of look at the Braves, we know they're well run. Some of it is, you know, I mean, would you have picked them early in the year to be here? What do you make of the Braves' path to get here?
Hey, Colin, full disclosure, before this year started, I picked the Braves to win the World Series. Now, I got to tell you, I did that thinking that Ronald Acuña Jr. would be the MVP.
Right.
And here he misses virtually a whole year, right? Blows out his knee. So you touched on something really interesting. The Braves are not here without the trade deadline, right? They went all year trying to replace Acuña. They couldn't do it. Trade deadline, they start, you know, looking at the bargain bin shelf for outfielders. Jock Peterson, Eddie Rosario, Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall. Completely redid their outfield on the fly at the trade deadline. Lo and behold, they played great the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And you look at the team they're playing here, the Astros, who really struggled bullpen-wise. Trade deadline, they go get Ryan Stanek, Phil Maton, Kendall Graveman, and most fans are going, who? Like, we're all looking at Scherzer and Turner, blockbuster deals, right? Just goes to show you, at the trade deadline, it's those finishing pieces. Neither one of these teams would be here without those trade deadline moves. Astros bullpen, Atlanta outfield.
Yeah. By the way, you know, Charlie Morton's funny. There are these guys that I just trust. I said this 2 weeks ago. If Charlie Morton's going in a big game, you just kind of feel like he'll be fine. There'll be no chaos. He'll get you to the seventh inning. Why did the Houston let him go? Was it a cost thing? Was it an age thing?
Well, first of all, Houston turned his career around. I mean, this guy had a 4.5 ERA career-wise, 36 years old. He blew out his hamstring the year before. He thought, nobody's going to want me. Astros wanted him because he could spin a curveball. And they told him, Charlie, you got to throw your curveball more. And he basically doubled it, and it's one of the best curveballs in the game. Watch the game tonight. You'll see that. It's actually two of the best, Valdez for Houston and Morton for the Astros. Ton of great curveballs tonight. So they turned his career around, And each year, Charlie was like, yeah, I may want to retire. He's got kids at home. He's getting into his late 30s. And it was about comfort then, about being close to home. He lives in Florida. The Braves train right near where his home is. So give the Astros credit for turning this guy around. And I'm totally in agree with you, Colin, here. Charlie Morton may not be the biggest name, but it comes to biggest games. He's on my list of five guys I would trust the most to handle that game and pitch well.
Yeah. So, listen, the Astros, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, we got into this discussion. I said, you know, aggressive wins in sports. And we know what the Astros did, but they didn't give up the World Series. And here they are with all these great players. And in the end, they're a little bit of a villain. And I understand it. And every sport's got them. And we can talk about the past. But in the end, last 5 years, you can make an argument, it's the best baseball team. If you start stacking up the last 5 years, is there a secret sauce to the Astros? You know, everybody's, oh, they're cheaters. People say that about the Patriots. You get that a lot, right? So, you mean, in the end, you got to win games. You got to win road games. You got to win series. Here's Houston again. Give me a little bit, for somebody that doesn't follow baseball religiously, what is it about this entity that keeps ending up in these big games and winning these big series?
Yeah, well, I would take it one step further. You have to win, yeah, on the road during the regular season. You have to win in October. It's a different kind of baseball in October, right? You're seeing the best pitchers, the best teams. The Astros have two things why they keep getting back here to the World Series. To me, number one, they put the ball in play, right? This team strikes out at the lowest rate in Major League Baseball. We've seen it throughout this postseason, Colin. This team is just racking up a ton of runs with two outs. So these pitchers can't get the third strike. They can't get their team off the field because up and down the lineup, these guys are going to battle you. They're going to put the ball in play. Watch these games. You won't see a ton of shifts when the Astros are batting. Why? Because they use the whole field. So that's number one. And now you're talking about supreme experience. And you can't tell me that doesn't matter in these big spots. It's sort of like the Yankees in the late 90s. They've been through every circumstance that you can imagine. I've seen this team play poorly. I've seen Altuve have a bad at bat, comes back the next at bat, hits a home run. Nothing phases this team. And it's sort of like a college football team, a college football coach who makes great halftime adjustments. The Astros do that in the course of these games. I mean, look, the Red Sox were the hottest team on the planet in the postseason. All of a sudden, they stopped hitting. And Alex Cora, I asked them, I said, what happened to your club? And he said, what happened was Brent Strom, the Astros pitching coach, and Martin Maldonado, the catcher. They just made adjustments in the middle of game four. Series completely changed. So that's what the Astros do. They put the ball in play. They're so smart. They've been through these wars. So they may have a bad game here or there, or even a bad inning. It doesn't faze them at all.
Yeah, I have a soft spot for Atlanta because the town really loves. They got a lot of sports in Atlanta, but the team that's closest to the heart of that city is the Braves, and it has been for years. And part of that is because of losing, because they lost so many big series that emotionally people have been so sucked into the Braves for years, and they've been so disappointed that there's this. You know, they've been very back to the Schuerholz days. They've always been a really well-run franchise, and they've been so close. They haven't won a title since 95. So part of me is like, and they lost their star players. Part of me is like, I'd like to see Atlanta win it. This would be great. Your gut feeling on what the series will look like if you lean either way?
Well, I think they have a couple of things in their favor, the Braves do. First of all, you know, American League rules here for the first couple of games in Houston. All these bats we talked about that they traded for in the outfield, they put another in the lineup, right? With the DH, you probably see Soler as the DH. They now have an American League lineup playing in American League rules. Then they go to Atlanta, and I think the National League rules really help the Braves because the Astros are going to have to play Michael Brantley and Yordan Alvarez in the same outfield with probably Kyle Tucker in center field. So that's an advantage for the Braves. Also, I was talking to Walt Weiss. He's, you know, been there forever. He said the crowds at Truist Park, and maybe this gets back to what you're talking about, Colin, are so much louder and have so much more energy than the crowds at Turner Field, which were great. But he said it's a whole different level. So when you've waited, 22 years for the World Series, you've got it first time in the new ballpark, there's a hunger there. So I think the ballpark will help them. The rules will help them. Bottom line here, Colin, is that the Braves are going to win this World Series. They're going to win it with their three lefties in the back of their bullpen, right? It's going to be Minter, Matzik, and Smith. Hitters are hitting .114 off them this postseason. Brian Snicker goes to them a lot. You have the two off days in the series where you can afford to do that. if the Astros are going to win, they're going to have to beat those guys late. It's a very unique circumstance with three, their best three relievers are all left-handed. It doesn't matter. They got lefties and righties. We've seen this postseason, Colin. It's really been about relief pitching. 31 postseason games, starting pitchers have won only 11 games.
Wow.
Two out of every three postseason games are decided by bullpens. So we talk all about the starting pitchers, but really it's bullpens who decide. And for the Braves, I really like their back end.
Braves Astros, 7:30, Fox. Great seeing you. We'll be watching tonight, bud.
Love it. Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Tom Verducci. Good as anybody who's ever done it. He's in that Peter Gammons class. Really great. And, you know, it is interesting that in a weird way, the places that Atlanta Braves baseball and Georgia football have been so close so many times and have broken their fans' hearts. You know, like Houston, when they were good with Olajuwon, they won some rings. And, you know, the Astros, you got some rings. And they're like, okay. Houston, when they're good, they've had their opportunity. Atlanta feels like one of those cities. They deserve a break from the sports gods.
I mean, do we even need to mention the Falcons?
I refuse to bet them. It's the one professional football team. By the way, this weekend, I love them against the Dolphins. I did. I wouldn't bet them. I refuse to bet Atlanta.
Smart.
No. I almost filed Chapter 11 a couple years ago on the Falcons. Limited time, buy a Casper mattress and get some free Casper products, up to two original Casper pillows. It's a $400 value. Go to Casper.com for details. Casper.com for details. Great stuff. Hour 3. Mark Sanchez around the corner next.